Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new covenant I write to you, which thing is true, in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So starting out in verse 1, he says, John says, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And this is kind of a continuation from verse 1 where he talked about, if we say that we have sin, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in 1 John, he said that if we say we have no sin or we say we haven't sinned, we're liars and the truth isn't in us. But then he says, but we don't have to sin.
Yes. Amen.
So, although sin is a fact of life, he's just reiterating, we don't have to sin. God has given us the power to overcome the temptation of sin. Mm-hmm. In Romans 6, if we look at Romans 6 in verses 1 through 2, it says, what shall we say then? This is Paul. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? So we've... Not only do we not have to sin, we're dead to sin.
Yes.
Our new life has our new life. We've gained a new life in Christ, and we're dead to sin. So it's not just that we don't have to, we don't want to, we don't even have a desire to do it. When you're dead to something, it just totally has no power over you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are dead to something, it has no effect on you. And then in Romans, continuing in Romans 6, when we look at Romans 6, verses 12 through 14, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So we don't have to sin. We should no longer present our members as instruments of unrighteousness. So we should no longer do those things that we previously did, but present ourselves to God as being alive from the dead. So sin does not have dominion over us, for we are under the grace of God. We're no longer under the law.
Amen.
And it was interesting, it said... do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So something that is dead, we're dead to sin. Something's dead cannot reign. No, but nothing that's dead can reign or have any dominion. So sin is dead, it cannot reign. And it cannot reign, even in our mortal body. So even though we're saved, we're still here with a fleshly body, but sin can't reign in there because we're dead to sin. And then John goes on and he says... and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So he says we don't have to sin, so that you may not sin. He says if anyone sins, we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm so thankful for this.
Yes.
Because even though we're made righteous and we don't have to sin and God gives us the power not to sin, we all have thoughts. We all have times that we slip up. And I'm so thankful that we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. In Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, Well, first of all, I thought it was interesting. So John kind of lays it out first that we don't have to sin, and then secondly says, but if we do, we have an advocate. And in Romans, Paul lays it out. So first he says there's, in chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, he says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, and they have altogether become unprofitable. There is no one who does good, no, not one. And that's our fallen nature to sin. That was our fallen nature to sin before we were saved. If we stumble and go back to that old man, we don't ever want to stumble. We don't ever want to go back to that old man. We can't ever go back to the old man because the old man's dead. He's been crucified. But we can stumble. And again, with that, we have an advocate through Jesus Christ, yes, through his suffering. And this is not talking about, I want to be really clear, this is not talking about repeated, unrepentant sin. But sin that is recognized, and when we recognize sin, we immediately, when we're faced with it, when we're confronted with it, when we realize it, we immediately repent, and we turn away from that sin.
Amen.
In Romans 3, continuing on in chapters 3, verses 21 through 25, it says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over all the sins that were previously committed. So again, Paul's talking about Christ being the propitiation for our sins. And in this verse, he's talking about it's to all and on all. So he was saying there's no difference between the Greek and the Jew. And that's what John is saying as well. Not only for ours, but for the whole world, for everyone who believes.
Yes.
As we keep going into verse 3, John says, now by this we know that we know him, that we keep his commandments. So that we keep his commandments. So first we need to know what his commandments are, which I'll talk about that. Then he says, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So I thought this was interesting. This is similar phrasing to, you know, what was done in chapter 1 with sin. If we, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So, in chapter 2, it's similar phrasing, but he says if we say that we know him, but we don't keep his commandments. So if we are not keeping Jesus' commandments, we're walking in darkness, right? And if we say that we are, and we're walking in darkness. But in both cases, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, simply saying that we know him is not sufficient. Simply saying it and simply confessing is not sufficient. Yes, we're saved by grace. It's not by works. But just saying it, it means that there hasn't been a true conversion. There hasn't been a true change. If we truly know Jesus and have made a confession of Christ, we will walk in the light and keep his commandments. And that's what it says. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Jesus warned us in Matthew 7:15. In Matthew 7, he talks about being aware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And it says that you will know them by their fruits. So I thought about that when I thought about reading this, and those who say they know him, but don't walk in his commandments and walk in his ways. But I also thought that's looking at others and how to talk about, to spot false prophets. But we really have to be careful not to deceive ourselves.
Yes. Amen.
It doesn't say others. It doesn't say in this passage others. It says if we say that we know him, and if we say that we have fellowship with him and are not obeying or walking in darkness, that we are liars. And that really, in Matthew 7, continuing on in Matthew chapter 7, it says in 21 verse 23, it's a warning to those who thought that they knew Christ, but he says to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So I was just thinking, there are those in that chapter who thought they knew Christ and they came to him and they said, Lord, Lord, let us in. He said, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. So they were saying one thing and they were even thinking one thing, but then they were practicing and doing those things that they weren't supposed to. So that's a warning to us to be careful. So I was thinking about this, and that's why it's really important for us to continue in the Word, not being conformed to this world, but being renewed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because God wants us to know. He's not hiding it from us. He doesn't want anyone to not come to him, so he's not hiding from us what his will is, and he's not making it hard for us. But we have to continue in the Word and continue to learn and renew our minds. And then God gives us, he's given us the ability, and he will continue to give us the ability to make that possible. He started a good work in us, and he will finish that. And then it says, He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. So, when we're abiding in Jesus, when we're saved, when we're confessing, we will walk as he walks, not because we have to. So we don't walk with Jesus because we have to. We walk with Jesus because, not because we're being forced, but because we are desiring to be more like him.
Yes.
And I think it's you know, knowing God and walking with God will increasingly lead to a righteous life in Jesus Christ. So we should be consistently moving in a direction that is marked by righteousness in God. So we ought to walk as Jesus Christ walked, and we ought to be willing to love the way that he loved and to imitate Jesus. Then he says, Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. So he says, I write to you no new commandment, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. And this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the covenant. It was from the beginning. It was there. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's not a new commandment. That's the old commandment, and Jesus is not giving us a new commandment that counteracts any of that. In Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." And this was when he was asked, "What's the great commandment?" He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So hang all the law and the prophets. So there's no new commandment. But then he says, right after that, he says, "Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." So the true light is already shining. So the true light is Jesus Christ. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment."
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So that we should believe on his Son, Jesus Christ, So if we believe on His Son Jesus Christ, we're loving God with all of our hearts. We've believed on Him. So it's a new commandment, but it encompasses the old commandment as well. And then He says, "In love one another as He gave us commandment." So God has perfected His commandment, which was from the beginning in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, just as Christ loved us and died for us, we should love our brothers just as Christ loved us and be willing to give ourselves up for them. It says the same thing that it says about if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say that we know Him, but we're not keeping His commandments. And then it says he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. Mm-hmm. So part of what we have to do is we have to love each other, to love our brothers and sisters. And that's not, it's not only our brothers and sisters in Christ, that's everybody. Christ died for everybody. So we need to, for all that we can, we need to love everybody. Doesn't mean we have to be accepting of sinful behavior. Doesn't mean that we have to be to compromise. But we still have to love everybody the way that Jesus did. Just to kind of finish up with that. So in John 13:35, He says, "By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So John starts out talking about sin. We don't have to sin. But when we slip up, we have an advocate. And then knowing Him, we have to walk with Him. We have to not just give lip service to our religion and just say that we are, but we need to be changed and we need to walk with Christ. We need to renew our minds so that we can, and He'll give us the power. He'll give us the power to do that. Any thoughts or?
Amen. Amen.
Well, like how you brought up the fact that we are dead to sin, we desire it no longer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that we're able to overcome, is knowing that we're dead to it and that the Lord has given us the power to overcome it.
They're in no response to sin, they can't stumble. We can stumble. And of course, that's what it is. It's about, does a man continue in his sin? Therefore, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. So when it says, that you can be perfect, it means we can be perfect and not continuing in sin. Yeah, we might stumble, but we're dead to sin. We don't respond to it. And if we're asking God to search our hearts, and He'll show us where we're falling short, and we can repent. But to see these things and to see them clearly of what the Scripture means when it says there's you can't sin, it's talking about when you continue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point, and I just lost my train of thought. But yeah, we can't continue in sin. So if somebody, if sin's brought to our attention, right? If someone, a brother, or if God brings it on your heart that you're sinning, you can't keep sinning and say, no, that's okay, I'm going to keep doing that. I'm okay everywhere else, but I'm going to stay on this. I'm going to hold on to this. You have to be willing to repent and give that away.
Amen.
And give up.
Amen. I appreciate
it. I just have one other thing. It's always been a good thing to see that lies in our desire and what we desire. When we're really that new creature, it is all about what our desires are. So we do need to see, am I getting pulled away, or is my desire still to be a soldier of Christ and to desire to be not of the things of this world?
Reminded us that loving our brother, believers, is we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. But it's also everybody that God has ever made. That's our brother and sister in the sense that we are all made by God. We're all put here, and who knows whether that person who is an unbeliever now might be a believer tomorrow.
Yeah.
As Jesus loved his enemies and prayed for their forgiveness even as they were killing him, how much do we want to follow in his steps and love people and be kind to people, whether they're brothers in Christ or not? I just liked that you reminded us of that kindness and love. But it talks about if you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? Well, that doesn't mean you just cast off all the unbelievers. I don't have to love them. That would be contrary to the spirit of Christ. We lay our lives down, in a sense, for everybody so that they might hear the truth and be born again.
Amen. Yeah, you never know. You never know who that person is. Yeah.
You mentioned you're glad that we have this advocate with the Father. I am too.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank God for that. Remember that we do have an advocate. And not just anyone, it's Jesus Christ the righteous.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Able to take away our sin, he's able to forgive us. And the First John is declaring that there is a dramatic difference when you're born again. Your life changes. And these are evidences and ways to examine ourselves. If someone's born again, they're not going to walk in darkness. They're not going to disobey his commandments. And if you are, then you need to examine yourself.
All right. Well, thank you. Let's have a stand and have a word of prayer.